recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Bechorot is Daf Yotet, brought to you from Bein Chomot Yerushalayim, and we begin at the Halakha of Mishnah, right on the second line. Yotze Dofen Vehaba Acharav. What we have over here is two issues. Yotze Dofen means that you have a Syrian delivery. It's the first, however, of the children. So in a sense, that's a Bechor. On the other hand, you can have Haba Acharav. Haba Acharav is the first of Peterechem. And remember that the Torah mentions two issues. One is Kol Bechor, and the other is Peter Korechem. So the question is, I mean, in this case, what's the relationship between the Peterechem? Is that itself the absolute requirement for a Bechor? Or is the firstborn also a Bechor? And then if the firstborn would be a Bechor, perhaps the one afterwards could be a Bechor. That would be a Peterechem, or maybe one or the other would be a Bechor. Rabbi Tarfon says he's not sure. He has a sofek, and therefore shnehem yera'u ashistaevu li'achlu b'muman l'ba'alim. Kohen can't prove, because I don't know. So the Kohen's not going to be able to prove using my shita, and therefore he can't get either of them. But on the other hand, they may be a Bechor, so we'll have to be machmir. And that way the Yisrael is going to be able to keep them, but both of them have to be kept b'kedushat Bechor, which means they can only be eaten if they have a mum. Rabbi Akiva Eimer, neither of them are Bechor. Shnehem inan Bechor. How can you see them as being Bechor? Harishon, mishum sheino peterechem. The Torah says it has to be a peterechem. So a yotze dofen, by definition, never opened the womb, and the other one, the hasheni, mishum shekadmo acher. The other one is not a Bechor. It's not a firstborn. So either way, it's 100% not a Bechor. So the Michael Miflege, what exactly is the machloket between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, says the Gemara? Obviously, Rabbi Tarfon is misafkale bebechor ledavar echad ihavi bechor ilo havi bechor. How do we look at the concept of a Bechor? I mean, there's many meanings to a Bechor. Bechor is the firstborn. The Bechor is bezachar, could mean the firstborn male, even if there was a female born before. A Bechor could mean Dafka, the first one to be delivered. So how exactly do, he's just not sure. So he's misupak. That may be one of the possible definitions of Bechor is sufficient to be Bechai of you and the Bechor. And therefore, since he's misafka, Bechor lo davar achad yavi Bechor ilo havi Bechor, he has to be machmir. So in terms of the momon, it doesn't go to the Kohen. But in terms of the Chumrat HaDin, the Yisrael has to be machmer, love to eat it only with a mum. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, pshita le Bechor ledavar achad, lo havi Bechor. According to Rabbi Akiva, either it's totally a Bechor for all issues, not only the first to be born, not only the first male, but also the first to be poterach. Tana Rabbana, in light of this, we have to take a look at the following braita. Now this is the famous braita that opens up the entire Sifra, which is the braita of Rabbi Yishmael with the Midot Shatorah Nidreshet Peh. So we discuss over there Klal Uprat, Klal HaTzorech LePrat, Prat HaTzorech LeKlal. Now we are going to actually, according to Rashi's approach, we're going to see Klal Uprat, and then we're going to see Klal HaTzorech LePrat, and then we're going to see a Prat HaTzorech LeKlal. So even though we left out the first words, the Tana Rabbana, Rashi learns that it's referring to the previous part. So, Kadesh li kol bechor. Now that is kol bechor, that's a klal. That's about as klal as you can get. Anything that is a first one, in any way. So if that would be the case, yochol afilo nekeva b'mashma. Comes along the Torah to make it clear that even though bechor includes everything, Talmud lomar zachar. Therefore, the Torah says this is a male. Now, this is not an example of a klal hatzorich leprat. This is a classic klal uprat. You have a klal that includes everything, and then you have a prat, and that teaches you ein bichlal alamashir beprat. And ein bichlal alamashir beprat means the only type of thing that's included in bechorah is males. I understand perfectly well what bechor means before you tell me males. Okay, so this is not an example of the klal hatzorich leprat. Now, once this is true, Zachar. So now if you're telling me that it could be any Zachar, so then it would be Bechor in terms of firstborn male, right? So then, Afiliyat Stadik Evalifanav. So you're saying, the firstborn male is to have this Kedusha. I mean, it doesn't say it has to be the firstborn anything and a male. It just says firstborn male. So now here, if that would be the case, then even Yat Stadik Evalifanav, if a female was born first, there should be no reason why it's not called a bechor. Talmud Lomar Peterechem. Now, Peterechem is a new definition of bechor. It is not a klal uprat. It is a redefinition of the term. Kol bechor is all first bechor. The term bechor, because all bechor is now defined as not all, all male bechor. Fine. That's klal uprat. But what do you mean when you say bechor? Do you mean a firstborn, or do you mean a non-born? That's a different issue. I mean, bechor can, the word bechor needs to be defined, not what's included in it. What does the word mean? Therefore, comes along the Torah to say, when I say bechor, I am referring to bechor in the sense of peterecha. Now, that's a different sense of bechor. It's not that we have alternatives, let's include all types of bechorot, including males and females. So therefore, this is a klal that is not really understandable. What do you mean by the word bechor? I don't understand what I mean by the word bechor until I get to the idea of peterech. Similar, in Rashi's view, similar to the idea of v'chisahu be'afar. So, v'chisahu be'afar, which is another example of the same yisod, does not come to tell me afar and nothing but afar. V'araya, we use it. A lot of things are included in afar. We talked about zarnik and so on and so forth. So what does the afar come to teach me? The afar comes to redefine what do you mean when you say v'chisahu. V'chisahu could mean you cover it with something so that it's hidden. Okay, so I take a plate and put a plate over it. Comes along Ba'afar, say, we're not talking about that type of covering. We're talking about a covering, meaning that it becomes absorbed into something and hidden in it. That's the chat covering. It's a completely different meaning. And that is a question of what it does the term mean, not what can I use to be Mekayim the term. Same to over here. Bechor meaning male or female. That's not a question, what does the term mean? That's a question, what type of Bechor do you mean? But whether Bechor means a birth Bechor, or whether Bechor means a child Bechor, it's a completely different meaning. The same way that a plate over something is a completely different meaning than dirt over something. Because of that, when we say V'chisahu be'afar, we don't darshan as a klal uprat. Ein b'klal ela mashir beprat, afar in, nothing else. We don't darshan that. Why not? Because it isn't. It's a klal hatzarich lefrat. And therefore, it redefines what the nature is of the word. Here too, Peterechem comes to tell me, what do I mean by a bechor? Okay, so now, if it says Peterechem, then that ought to mean that even if there had been a Yotzei Dofen before, the Yotzei Dofen is irrelevant. Yeah. In other words, you're telling me Bechor means Peterechem. Okay, fine. So if Bechor means Peterechem, so then Yokol Afil Yatsa Acher Yotzei Dofen, since this is the first Peterechem, and you now come to define Bechor in that way. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the Torah stresses over here, Bechor, meaning that it has to be an absolute Bechor. It has to be truly first. Now this is the opposite. This is a prat that is tzarich leklal. Because we know that it has to be, this particular prat, it has to be a zachar and a peterechem. Fine. But I don't know what type of zachar, what type of peterechem do you mean? Comes along the klal to say, I mean a first That's what I mean. So it has to be a first, therefore, in the sense of also being that nothing came before it. So then, that type of thing, which is petarechem, is what I'm referring to as a bakor. So this is a prat hatzarich liklal, which is not generally the cases. In other words, usually, when you have a prat, you don't need the klal. If you say min habema, if you say rather min habakar or min hatzon, that's absolutely clear. You add nothing to the prat when it started off by saying min habema, min habakar or min hatzon. Min habakar min hatzon makes great sense without the word mibeima. But in this case, it's not clear at all what your intent is. What do you mean by petarechem? Anything at all that opens a womb? No. I mean bechor. That redefines the nature of the petarechem. Okay. So that we have here an example in the last two parts. There's about three parts in this Rasha. The first is a klal prat, the second is a klal tzarech prat, and the third is a prat tzarech klal. Amalei Rav Sharvi Elabai, look, this is extremely confusing. The first time you brought the word bechor, you obviously were not construing it to mean a bechor in every possible sense, because then you couldn't have asked the next question. Because bechor has all types of concepts associated. So it could be a firstborn male. It could be a firstborn birth male. It could be a firstborn male if there was a female that had previously gone out derech dofen, so that it's also the firstborn male, and it's also the first one to be petarechem. Right? It could be any of those things, or combinations of them. Now, when you started off, the Reisha, when he's referring to the Reisha, he means the first of the Klal HaTzarech Leprat, the second case that we have. So when you asked in the Reisha, and that's the middle case, so you asked over there, you might think Afilu Yatzta. It's okay, we just started. You might think Afilu Yatzta, Nekeva Lefanav, that even if a nekeva came first, so you said, Talmud Lomar Petarechem. What do you need, the Talmud Lomar Petarechem? Did you just use the word Bechor? So you're saying, you asked a question, Zachar, if it's Zachar, so maybe even Yatsa Nekeva Lefanav, Talmud Lomar Petarechem. What do you mean, Talmud Lomar Petarechem? Talmud Lomar Bechor. So why wasn't that persuasive to you? Because the word bechor could mean that even in a case where there was a yatsta the cable of fun of, it was the first zachar. It wasn't the firstborn, but maybe that's enough to be the first zachar. So obviously you already had the word bechor. It didn't prove to you anything. You needed to come along and to prove that for petarech. So your initial assumption is bechor definitely does not mean across the board bechor, right? Fine. Then you come, okay, so the Reisha lo kanasu latamud bechor. You don't bring your proof text from bechor. So what does that imply? Alma, bechor, ledovar echad, havi bechor. Since this is the firstborn male, so that's also a bechor. Who says it has to be the firstborn male plus the firstborn? Right? So, okay. For that, you can only prove a petarecha. Then, when you come to the Seifa, and you ask, the Seifa meaning literally the Seifa, the last possible case, e petarechem yokala filo yotze acher yotze daifen. What if there was first a yotze daifen? Tabod lomar bechor. And how does bechor prove that? Unless, when you're saying bechor, you mean bechor in every possible way. Because you're saying that a bechor ledover echad, I mean, this is a bechor, it's the first petarechem. So why is it not a bechor? A bechor of normal leda, right? But it's not a bechor of all of the children, so apparently it's not enough to be a bechor for one thing. The word bechor suddenly now has metamorphosized into something which means bechor in every possible way. And even though this is a bechor in one way, that's not enough. It needs to be a bechor of the first child also. Not only the first male, not only the petarechem, it's got to be the first thing that was ever given birth to. How did that happen? How did you switch gears in the middle? Great question. Omar Leisha, Abaye said to him, look, the truth is that a Bechor Ledover Echad is not called a Bechor. It has to be a Bechor across the board. But what the Reisha was saying was not what we said over Reisha meaning the Mitziyat. The Reisha, this is skipping a step, and it's just assuming you'll make sense of it. What it should have said to make things clear to you was Achikama. If you're telling me, first step, Izacha, Yachal Afilo Yotza Derech Daifen, that if we're talking about a male, so then maybe it could mean a male that was delivered by C-section. Now, what are you going to say? Bechor? Talmud Lomar Bechor? How could you prove that from Bechor? Why isn't that a Bechor? Because the word Bechor certainly doesn't include Petarechem until we know that there's a deal of Petarechem. Okay, so this would be a Bechor. Lecholdav. Nothing came first. There was another Keva before it, and so on. So now that we brought Petarechem, now we understand that we've established now a new issue. If it's not the Petarechem, so then it's also not a Bechor. In other words, this one point includes the Nekeva, because it's not a Petarechem if a Nekeva came before. We sort of were Mikatzer. But that Petarechem includes the question, obviously. And what about if it was a Bechor that was Derech Daifen? Is that the first issue I need to deal with? You came to a mission, Yotze Daifen bring Potter, right? Okay, how do you know Yotze Daifen bring Potter? Because it says Petarechem. I mean, you can't skip that part. That's a given. So once I know that Petarechem is also part of being a Bechor, then obviously I've excluded also if an Akeva came before him, because then he isn't a Petarechem. But the fact is, in the word Bechor, we were always assuming that it would include first in every way. Obviously, if the Torah would have introduced a new criterion, which is if it has hair on its head, I wouldn't be able to learn that from Bechor. That's a completely new thing. Okay, fine. But once I know it, then I know it. Ravina says, no, that's not the way to answer this problem. The original way that we understood was correct. A Bechor Ledover Echad is also a Bechor. And now your problem is from the Sefer. So how did the Sefer utilize Bechor to tell me all of a sudden that it's sufficient? I mean, why isn't it sufficient to be a Bechor with the question that we're asking? We're saying Tam Lomar Bechor. Why would it would be after it was Yotzei Daifen, it's the first one, to be Petarechem? So your question is, if you're able to prove that for Bechor, then Bechor must mean across the board. No, you're not understanding the drasha. The real drasha is like this. Sefer HaChikam, if you think, as you're suggesting, that maybe a Yotzei Achra Yotzei Daifen, it's the first Petarechem, would be Kodesh B'Bechor. Okay? Explain to me why it says Bechor. Why does it say the word Bechor? Bechor Dekotav Rachman Olamali. Is it to tell me a case where a Nekeva was born normally, vaginal delivery, before it? Obviously, then it's not the Petarechem. So I already know that. So what is it coming to tell me? It's got to be coming to tell me a Bechor where there was no previous normal delivery, but there was a C-section before. That's all that it could be saying. So you don't need to tell me, oh, all of a sudden the Bechor means everything. No, it doesn't. It wouldn't mean everything. But I ask you what we need it for at all. That's what I'm asking you. Because Petarechem has already made it clear nothing could have been born before. Okay? Now, there's one crucial point that is missing in Ravina, and that is that there's a difference between a C-section of a male and a C-section of a female. And that, in fact, is the Gemara's next attack. You're assuming that we only have these three issues, but it's not really true. There's another issue. Omle Ravachli, Difti the Ravina. No, this is not correct. Because if you're right that a Bechor Ledover Echad is a Bechor, And the only way that we're being memayet the case in which he's bo acher yotze dofen as the peterechem is because, well, what else does it come to tell you? Want me to tell you what else it comes to tell you? I'll tell you. The point is, teinach echa di yatsa zachar derech dofen. Fine, I'll tell you, this is the case. A male previously was born by C-section. Bechor zachar tells me one thing. The next male that is poterechem is not the firstborn male. You're right. But how about if a female was born first? And you're still maintaining that the word Bechor doesn't mean in every way. Okay. So it doesn't mean in every way. So now there was a female that was already born before. Let's see this inside. Zatenachecha diyatza zachar derech dofen. If a zohar came out first, besisech, and then a zohar came normally derech rechem. Over there, I understand that it's coming to tell me delo kadosh. It is not considered to be the one that is kadosh because it's imut mi bechor. Take out that word later. The word bechor means that it has to be the bechor. In this case, bechor l'rechamim ika. It may be the peterechem, but the additional word bechor, which you say we already know peterechem, it's not a bechor l'zecharim. That is missing over here. It's neither the bechor l'zecharim, nor is it the bechor l'vladot. So insert the word l'vladot. Bechor l'zecharim u'l'vladot leka. It's neither the firstborn male, nor the first vlad. Correct? Okay. So then neither. But there's two issues. First male, first child. According to you, Bechor doesn't mean both of the above. It means one of the above. If it means one of the above, because it's only coming to teach us something because it's extra, which one is more likely to be excluded? That which is neither. It's neither the first vlad, nor is it the first male. But how about if it's the first male? How about if the first one that was born with the C-section was a female? You're saying, well, it says Bechor. This is a Bechor. But it says Peterechem. This is Peterechem. Well, what do I need Bechor for? Well, you need Bechor to tell me that if there was a male before, this is not a Bechor. But there was no male before. There was only a female Bechor. Therefore, it's clear that Abaya is right. The Gemara is assuming all along that Bechor means in every way. First child, first male, and now that we know Peterechem, first Peterechem. No way out of this. As if a female was born first by C-section, followed by a zocher through a vaginal delivery, why wouldn't it be kedem? Because it's a bechor lezochari, and it's a peterechem, it's a bechor lerechem. So forget it. It's clear that bechor means bechor lechol milay. That's what the underlying assumption of the drasha is, and that is essentially Rabbi Akiva. If it's not this, it's not a Bechor. Hadron alach alokeach ubar parato. Einthunder helike perek. Well, our president is out of town. Richie is out of town. Saba Josh doesn't want to try my balloon trick. Hey, I don't know.
I'm willing to try the balloon trick.
I know, but you don't need it. He needs it and he's chicken. All right. Halokeach beima mina oved kochavim. We've been discussing the issue of ownership. If you buy a beima that gives birth in your rishus, it's chayav on a bechor. But there's a question. How do I know this is a bechor? I mean, what he's going to tell me, oh, this animal has never been a mother before. You know, it's got all of its virginal energies in it. Am I going to believe him? Do I know? So if you're lokeach beima mina oved kochavim, I have no idea. If it was Bichra, if it was Lo Bichra, this was a question that we haven't discussed yet. We discussed Sveikot in terms of there were twins, or there was one female with two different animals, and all the combinations of the above, and we discussed the Suffolk Alibid Rebbe Tarfon in the case where it was Yotze Dofen. But how about not knowing whether this animal is, in fact, having its firstborn or not? Rabbi Yishmael Omer, well, what you can know for sure is that an Eiz Bat Shnata Vaday LeKohen. If it's within its first year, an Aes doesn't give birth. And therefore, if this is the first child that it's had within its first year, it would not have had a child again now. This is its first child. So if it's Bachnata and you buy it, nothing to worry about. Mikan ve'elech safek, but anything after that, you can't be sure. It may, in fact, have already had a vlad. Rachel Bachtain is vade lekohen. Mikan ve'elech safek. Parah ve'chamor benot shalosh vade lekohen. Mikan ve'elech safek. By the way, this is no longer true, remarkably, just as in humans. There's been a change in puberty, onset of puberty. Same thing has happened to animals.
It's also become earlier.
Earlier, yeah.
Wow.
There's actually a lot of discussion, Mismanazeh. So what is the shear? Can you be
similar? It must be.
Just because the Mishnah says this doesn't mean that you can't. It's a whole question. Not even at the time of the Tiferes Yisrael, he already points out this just isn't true anymore. It's interesting to have the historical data. Who's going to, where would you find the data about?
Right,
that's
right.
Good.
So
the only one that are interested.
No, because they said, the people eating more animals.
Yeah.
It's the reason, so that can't be the case.
That can't be the case here. Omalo Rabbi Akiva, says Rabbi Akiva, is very smart, except you're overlooking one little thing, and that is, it doesn't take a birth to make an animal putter from Becher. You're thinking in terms of birth, but in order to putter an animal from a Becher, it would be enough to have had a miscarriage of any kind, and then already you'd have a suffix. Now, how would you know if an animal miscarried that's not in your barnyard? Absolutely no way to know. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, Ilu bivlad bilvad habeima nifteret. If having a child is the only thing that would make the next one potter, then kidvarecha, you'd be right. But that's not true. Ela amru, but as you know perfectly well, we've had many different halachas, simen vlad bideima daka tinuf, that it's enough to see signs of tinuf. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly that is, but obviously some type of bleeding. Idabeima daka. Begasa shilya. In a Bema Gasa, all that we need to see is a Shilia. Now, there's all kinds of questions about the clear-cut identification of the differences between a Shilia and a Shvir. It's really Machlokas in Rishon. The Isha, with a human, a Shvir or a Shilia would be sufficient. The way the Rambam defines the Shvir is what we would call the placenta. And the Shilia is what we would call the embryonic sac. However, other Rishonim explain it very differently. So according to Rashi, the Shilia might be the placenta and or the embryonic sac, and the Shvir would be an actual collapsed, not properly formed embryo, which has a tzura of an Adam, and there's just skin with the tzura of an Adam, which is what exactly that would be in modern terms, I don't know. But Zehakla. So the klal I say, therefore, is this. If you know for a fact it was bichra before, then you don't have to worry about anything. Ein kan l'kohen klum. If you don't know, if you know for a fact it wasn't bichra, then it's the kohens. If you don't know, then you have to assume that in terms of iser, you have to be machmir, and therefore you have to wait until it gets a mum, but in terms of mumen, you don't give it to the kohen. There's no dinim of iser after a mum on a bechor, and therefore yeachel b'mumo leba'alim. Now, says the Gemara, why is everybody ignoring the issue of rove? I mean, it's all very nice to say it could have. What is normal? I mean, isn't there such a thing as a norm? I mean, you're telling me, it might have had a miscarriage or something. I mean, why don't we say it's a suffix? Why don't we say that rove behemoth, as soon as they reach puberty, they have a vlad. I mean, they're always hanging around males, and why would they not be impregnated? Why would they not have a vlad? So why are you saying, no, you have to know, if it's kosher, yadua, it has to be 100% known. I mean, come on, all of a sudden we've got this really super religious animal that's waiting for a rabbi to come along. I mean, what's the issue? Why didn't it get pregnant? Rove behemoth medabrot v'yodot. Don't get pregnant during the first year. Why are we saying, no, you have to know? Vadai, let's assume that Vadai had a child, and you don't have to worry. What are we being machron? We're allowed to be serving on a rove. Is it possible that perhaps Rabbi Shmok, Rabbi Meir Svirale, who holds that we're going to be chayish lemiuta? Is the point over here that indeed, even though we say we go vasarov, but we have to worry also about Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir holds that we're chayish even lemiuta? Says the Gemara, no. Afilu tema rabbana. Doesn't have to be Rabbi Meir. Because the truth is, ki azle bata ruba, ruba de ite kama. Remember that we have two completely different types of rove. We have rove which is statistically predictive. That's called a ruba de leta kaman. The rove has nothing to do with what's in front of us now. The rove is defining some type of universal statistics. Most animals have, what does that have to do with my animal? So if there were two animals that had a bakar, and one animal that didn't, or that I don't know, I go bust a rove, and I say, this comes from the rove, and it had a bakar. But that's not the case. You don't have anything specific known in front of you at all. There's no reason why the rove of what happens in the world overall has any impact on this particular case. So a predictive rove, we predict that this animal will have a child, and it's fine. Either it happened or it didn't happen. But who's to say you can rely on a predictive rove? Therefore, perhaps the whole issue over here is that indeed, a ruba, the leta, come on, we don't rely on. So, kiaze batar ruba, when did the rabbanit say we can rely on a rove? That's dafke beruba, the itekaman. Kigon, teshachanuyot, or Sanhedrin. So the din over here is that mida is a din specifically that we learn from Sanhedrin. So you go according to the rove deot in front of you, and that defines it. Teisha chanuyot, we know exactly how many butcher shops are in town, what is selling kosher, what is not. That impacts something that came out of that particular rove. This animal did not have anything to do with any other animal in the world. That the general disposition of animals, of having children, should affect it in any way. And therefore, ruba de leta kaman, lo azi rabbana, bata ruba. And therefore, Rabbi Yishmael could be going perfectly well according to Rabbanan, and he's saying, look, you have to know. So if it couldn't have had a vlad, says Rabbi Yishmael, fine. But if it could have had a vlad, then it's a suffix, not a vada. Says the Gemara, but the whole machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir is about a ruba de leta kaman. The machlokas, the famous machlokas, is about the chances of a child being sterile. Now that's a ruba de leta kaman, obviously. It's not somehow there's a group of children, some of whom are sterile and some of whom aren't. And that, of course, is the famous machlokas about katan viktana in the case of Yibum. We've had many times before. So over there, and we'll get to it in a moment, that's a ruba de leta kaman, and it's there that the rabbanan say we do go basaro. The case, of course, that we're referring to is the Tanya, katan uktana lo chotzim v'lo miyabim divi Rabbi Meir. So if one of the partners here in this arrangement is underage, then they cannot do chalitza and they cannot do yibum. Omrullah, says this Rabbi Meir, Omrullah, I understand why you can't do chalitza, because chalitza, it says beferishim, lo yachpot ha'ish lakachat yevimto. So the male certainly has to be a mature male, an ish, and we know that we're makshinan, isha la'ish. Torah also compares the woman in the story of Yibum to the male in the story of Yibum. So they both have to be adults, okay. But I don't understand, where does it ever use the word mature when it comes to Yibum? What's the difference how old they are? As long as they're capable of sex, obviously, they have to be 3 years old for the female and 9 years old for the male. But they don't need to make kinyonim, the Torah is giving over. Why are you being mamayit? Ah, says Rabbi Meir, I'll tell you why. Amar lehem, what if this katan is sterile? Or what if this ketana ends up discovered to be sterile? So you say, well, right now it's irrelevant because anyway they're sterile, so to speak, because they're children. Okay, but if it turns out that this katan shema yimatse saris, the ketana shema timatse ilonit, then what happened? Then we're allowing children to grow up with a rayat. Because then they're being pogea with the yisrei shetach, both male and female. How can we allow that? So they're going to be pogin be'erva. And therefore, because the din is over there, of course it says vayah b'chor asher teled. So the Torah says they have to be capable of having children. So then that means there's no yibum, there's only yisrei erva. And what are we going around encouraging? Yisrei erva. Now that case is a case of Ruba de Leta Kaman. And what did Rabbanan tell Rabbi Meir? Rabbanan? Zil bata rov ktanim, v'rov ktanim lav sirisim. Nino. Zil bata rov ktanot, v'rov ktanot lav ailonit ni adoniot, Nino. Most children do not grow up to be sterile. So how can you possibly suggest that Rabbi Shmuel is going on Libet Rabbanan? Rabbi Shmuel, who says it's a suffix, is only going on Libet Rabbi Meir, who's Chashin and Lemiyuta. There's no way out of it. Ela Amar Rava, forget it. The only way to understand this is Machvarta, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir Sfirale, Rabbi Shmuel, who says in our Mishnah that Mikan ve'elach safek, instead of saying Mikan ve'elach definitely, you have to assume was pregnant, even though 90% of animals maybe have already had children at the end of the first year. Pemadaka. He clearly holds a Rabbi Meir. You have to be Chai Shal B'Yuta. It's no different than the case of Yibum. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, there is a difference in this Rov. It's not just because, you're making a very simple distinction between a Ruba de Ita Kaman and a Ruba de Leta Kaman. But there's another distinction. The Rabbanan are only saying that you go over here, Beruba, where it involves even a predictive Rov. But it's a predictive rove that discusses nature. Becoming pregnant is not nature. Becoming pregnant requires intervention. It won't happen unless there's a male nearby that they manage to copulate with. Right? And therefore, says Ravina, even if it's going on Libet Rabbona, Kiyazer Rabbonim Bat Aruba, it's Aruba where nothing has to happen. It's just part of nature. So you're saying this child is going to end up developing normally and will reach puberty, and it has nothing to do with what anybody does. It's just what happens. Mashenkin over here, it's Aruba de Tali B'maaseh. Aruba de Tali B'maaseh, lo. Where do you ever see that the Rabbonim would hold that even over there, we can assume it happened? What do you mean it happened? You can't predict something happening. You can predict a process from continuing normally, but you can't predict something happens. So therefore, the entire assumptions that you built your argument on don't apply to this case. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, there is a difference in this Rov. It's not just because, you're making a very simple distinction between a Ruba de Ita Kaman and a Ruba de Leta Kaman, but there's another distinction. The Rabbanan are only saying that you go over here, Beruba, where it involves even a predictive rove, but it's a predictive rove that discusses nature. Becoming pregnant is not nature. Becoming pregnant requires intervention. It won't happen unless there's a male nearby that they manage to copulate with. Right? And therefore, says Ravina, even if it's going on Libet Rabbona, Kiyazer Rabbonim Bat Aruba, it's Aruba where nothing has to happen. It's just part of nature. So you're saying this child is going to end up developing normally and will reach puberty, and it has nothing to do with what anybody does. It's just what happens. Mashenkin over here, it's Aruba de Tali B'maaseh. Aruba de Tali B'maaseh, lo. Where do you ever see that the Rabbanan would hold that even over there, we can assume it happened? What do you mean it happened? You can't predict something happening. You can predict a process for continuing normally, but you can't predict something happens. So therefore, the entire assumptions that you built your argument on don't apply to this case. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11.
We're holding today on Daf Yud Tes in the first. Yotzei Dofen, the Haba Acharav. We have now one child, a blood that was delivered by Caesarea. And then you have another male that is born normally after the delivery of a Caesarean. So Rabbi Tarfon Omer Shnehem Yerau Achi Yistayevu V'yayaklu B'mumam L'Balim. The Shaila is, what does the Torah mean when it talks about a Bechor and about a Petzorecha? Is it possible that there might be two types of Bechor? A Bechor, the first male to be born, or a Petzorecha, the first thing which is Petzorecha, even if it's not the first thing to be born. So in other words, it's possible to conceive that if you have a Bechor that is born by Caesarean, despite the fact that it's not a Petzorechem, it is the firstborn, maybe a Bechor is a Bechor. It's also possible to conceive that the Petzorechem, even if there was a firstborn or was a Bechor before, is also something that's unique. Rabbi Tarfon is misupak whether maybe there's such a thing as two categories of Bechor, one called Petzorechem. And Meiser of Meir Simcha points out that the marker for this would be the pasuk itself. Because remember the introduction to the concept of Bechor. It's not clear, Bechor, what exactly it means. It talks about Kol Peter Rechem, and then it talks about Bechor Sheger Behema. What's the difference between a Peter Rechem and a Sheger Behema? What's the Sheger Behema? Has a Harim Lashem. We darshan as the harim before, but even if you have, you hold like Roshotzi, Eshel Samson, and even Zechor. But what's the difference between a Petzer Rechem and a Sheger Behema, I think? Tainus of Meir Simcha, that would be the Mokra of Rabbi Tarfon. There's two dinners. There's a dinner called Petzer Rechem, there's also a dinner called Sheger Behema, whatever, even if it's not a Petzer Rechem. It's that which a Behema Meshagaret Behema, no matter how it's Meshagaret. Both the Zicharim should be Lashem. So he learns according to Rabbi Tarfon, you could have two Zicharim for one animal. Rishay Maleda and Rishay Mepetaresa. The others learn that Rabbi Tarfon is Mesupik, which one of them, he couldn't have two, but which one of them is the Zicharim. Right, but this is how he learns the beautiful, beautiful thing to the Pasuk. Therefore, Tanis with Tarfon, since it's Mesupik, Shnehev Yerau Achi Yistayu, both the Peter Erechem and the first Laleda, you have to treat the Sarasotik with the Kumru of the Feres, and you wait until it gets a boom, but you don't have to give it to the Kohen. They can both be eaten by the Bailam because it's a Sufik, and the Kohen has to prove that you owe him this Kofar. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, definitely there's no Shiloh of the Feres over here. Shneem Einan Bafar. Neither of these is a Bechor. The first is not a Bechor because it wasn't a Petzorecha. The second one isn't a Bechor because there was another one that came before it. And therefore, what's the saddle we have to say? The word Bechor means two things. It has to be the first delivery, which is Derech Rechem, which is a male. So all of these things define what is meant by the word Bechor. For Michael, obviously. So what now is the Machlokes Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva? Obviously, Rabbi Tarfon is misapulate whether Bechor L'davar Achad is a Bechor for one issue. That is to say, is a Bechor only L'Leit HaZechor? Or is a Bechor only L'Pet HaRechem HaZechor? Is that considered to be a Bechor? Well, I think Bechor. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, Pshita Lay, Bechor Dover Echad, Lo Havi Bechor, the meaning of Bechor is it includes these two concepts. Now, this price that goes through the various Limudim in the Torah, so it talks about Klaluprat. Klaluprat brings as an example earlier in the price of Rabbi Shmo, brings as an example Behema, Mina Behema, Mina Bakar, Mina Tzon. So Mina Behema is a Klal, Mina Bakar, Mina Tzon is a Prat. That's called Klal of Prat and Bakar of Mashiv of Prat. Now it also introduces a different Mina, which is called Klal HaTzorek LePrat, where over there the Klal is Tzorek LePrat, or a Prat is Tzorek LeKlal. Over there, you don't apply the dinim of klal uprat, as we saw in Kulin, like the question, b'tiso b'afar. The Gemara asks, why don't we say b'tiso is a klal, b'afar is a prat, and then you shouldn't be able to use anything else but afar. How could you, the Gemara over there gives all kinds of different things that you can use. You grind up something, use it, but why isn't it a classic klal uprat? So the Gemara explains that it's a klal tzorek leprat because we don't know what the definition of the b'chisalu means. Remember, there's two ways you can cover something. Remember the shaila over there. You can cover something by taking a cup and putting it over. It's called covering. Or you could covering something by having it wrapped in something. So I need to know what that means first. I need to understand what the meaning of the b'chisalu is. So that's not called a klal and a prat in which the two things could have existed separately, such as mina behima could exist separately from mina bakar mina tzon. If I could tell you mina bakar mina tzon, I don't have to tell you mina behima. Obviously, a bakar mina tzon is a kind of behima. A behima automatically would include a bakar mina tzon. Mashenke, when it comes to defining what a word means, what type of kisei am I talking about? That's not called a klal or prat. That is called explaining what is meant by the first word. This is a klal. So over here we go through the first part that we bring the klal or prat is mina beima, mina bakar, mina tzon. Then we have another din, which is a klal, tzarek leprat, and prat, tzarek leklal, and then we begin to explain. Ketza. So kadesh li kol b'chor. Okay, Kadesh Likol Bechor might mean Afilu Nekeva the Mashma. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah says no, only Hazakar Lashem. Oh, Hazakar. So if you say, now, don't think that this part is an example of Kual Atzaret Lepras. This is a little bit misleading over here. Because obviously this is not. This isn't regular klal or prat, or would be anyway if they were next to each other. There's bechor, and then zakar. And bechor could mean his firstborn, any firstborn. How would I define it? What firstborn? Zakar firstborn. That's not a defining of what bechor is. That's simply a regular klal or prat. There's two types of bechorim, and now the Torah is being mamayit nekeva from that. The part that comes to illustrate the klal hatzarek leprat is later. At least this is the way Rashi learns it. So the first piece over here that you might think it includes nekeva, talmud lomar, zrocher is a normal klal leprat. Izachar yochol afilu yastan nekeva lefanan. I suppose it had said before zachar. Before zachar could have meant the firstborn male. So in other words, if this animal had before it a female, this is still a firstborn male, so then it should be also Kodesh B'Bechor. Talmud Lomar, Peterech, therefore the Torah says Peterech, in other words, what do I mean by Bechor? This is a definition. I mean by Bechor, not of the various Bechoras, the one that's Peterech. I mean by the same Bechor, that which is Poterach, which is a way of understanding the word Bechor. In the same way that understanding Kisohu, there's two ways of understanding Kisohu. So now I'm defining the word Zakar. Talmud Lomar, Peterach. I see if it says Peterach. Yochel Afilu Yotzach or Yotzadoyfen. If that's the case, Heterechem would mean that even if this animal had now a Caesarean delivery before, so that it would still be a Heterechem. Therefore, it's a perfectly valid Bekorah. Tamud Lomar, therefore, the Torah says, nope, it also has to be a Bekorah. A Bekorah is now, this is an example of Prat Hatzorif Liklal. Because the words that we said before, Heterechem, could mean anything. Saying, what kind of Heterechem am I talking? What do I mean by Heterechem? I mean, a Heterechem, which is a Bechor, is the Pshat. That's what I'm talking about by Heterechem. The firstborn that is Heterechem. Okay, normally, a Klal and a Prat exist in separate worlds. They don't, in other words, they can, each one of them can be said and be fully understood. It's the relationship between them that creates now a tension that gives us the result of Ein Beklal Olamashe Beprat, or Klal Prat Uklal, Bitzmar Bekeinah Prat, because they're interrelated. Mashenkin, when you have a Klal Atzorek Leprat, or Prat Atzorek Leklal, they're not interrelated, they're one statement, in which I'm defining what I mean. What does the word Bechor mean? Bechor means a Heterechem. So what does the Heterechem mean? Heterechem means the Bechor. So these two are fundamentally part of one concept, which I cannot express without telling you both of them. Otherwise, I'm creating a completely wrong impression. It's not that I'm being reminded of something. Simply telling you what I mean by the concept over here. Because of that, it doesn't have the implications that normally Klal or Prat or Prat or Klal had. So therefore, just like by the Chisol B'Afar, I can include other things, even though normally I would say it's a Klal or Prat. Once it becomes a Klal or Circle Prat, there's no tension created between the two. And the male of the Torah isn't coming to tell me to limit this in any particular way. So Yid Petarechem Yochel Afilu Yotza Acher Yotzibet. Oh, sorry, I skipped over here. So now, let's say it again. Let's say it again because I want to identify the pieces that we're going to be referring back to. So section number one, the ratio, is Kadesh Liko Bechor does not include Mekeva. Yochel Afilu Mekeva. So that, what does that mean? It means that a Bechor would have meant Mekeva as well. Talmud Omer Zachar. Second section. If it says Zachar, Yochel Afilu Yotza Mekeva Lifanah. So firstborn male, even if a female was born before. Talmud Omer Petarechem. No, it was already Petarechem. Then this can't be included because it's not the type of Bechor which is Petarechem. Ah, third section. If Petarechem is so then, that means if it's the first one to refer to the record, even though there was another Leda, what was the other Leda? Caesarean Leda? So this would also be kosher. Some of them are Bechor. It has to be the firstborn. That's section three. Omele Richarbi Ali Abayis. Richarbi appoints not so bias. Something is very strange about this rush. Because Rasha, by the Rasha you mean section two. In section, because the Rasha of the Rasha, in other words, the first thing over here was not an example of Klal Atzorek Leprat, Prat Atzorek Leklal. So that's not calling that the Rasha. So the Rasha of the last two drushes that were illustrating the interrelationship of the need for Klal and Prat, Prat Leklal. So that assumes that the word Bechor would have included even the non-Yotzidot. In other words, because it asks over there, you might think, Afilu Yotzta Nekeva Lefanav, Talmud Omer Petarechem. In other words, had it said the word Bechor alone, I didn't know Petarechem, so I would have said, a Bechor doesn't mean a firstborn. A Bechor could mean a firstborn male. So doesn't that show you that the word Bechor can be limited in the sense of using it as a Bechor L'Dabar Echad? Consider that we have a number of meanings to the word Bechor. Bechor, firstborn. Bechor, firstborn male. Bechor, that which opens the womb. Do you need all of them? Can one of them be enough? If it's a firstborn male and comes after a nekeva, could that be enough? That's called a bechor, the dover echad, right? It is a bechor, the dover echad. Now, I'm asking, I'm questioning the assumption of this brisa. The brisa originally assumes that a bechor for one issue is considered to be a bechor. Because if it hadn't said the petharet, I would have said that the birth of a nekeva first doesn't say that it's not a bechor. It's still a bechor, okay? The Gemara, the brisa did not say, what do you mean? How could you think a nekeva lefanah if it says bechor? So it's not a firstborn. So clearly we're accepting the fact that the word bechor doesn't mean a firstborn. It could mean a first opener, a firstborn male. I mean, so that would be one type of bechor. A bechor was over a cod that doesn't cover all your bases. Therefore, it needs to go out of its way and say, well, that wouldn't be good because it's just Beth Arachim there. But the Kava was already born, so then there wouldn't be a Beth Arachim. But then in the third section, you go ahead and you say, well, it's originally assumed bechor was over a cod had before. Now the Seifa, the third section where you say, oh, so if that's the case, how about if there was a Yotze Dolphin that is now not included in Peth HaRechem, and now the firstborn through the Rechem was a Zohar, maybe that is a Bechor. Right? And then you say, no, can't be a Bechor. Why not? Tambalon a Bechor. Before you said that Bechor could include any type of Bechor. And now when you're stuck because your Peth HaRechem leaves you with the fact that maybe it could be a Bechor if it's the first Peth HaRechem, some of them are Bechor. I mean, make up your mind. Either Bechor is exclusive or Bechor is inclusive. You can't use it in the same price in contradictory ways. And what happens over here? So the same for Kanasi Batamura in the third part, the price now brings it its raya from the Torah, the word quotes Bechor, unquote. So what do you see? That at that point we've made up our minds that a Bechor, the Davar Echad, lower Abi Bechor. Because I'm using the word Bechor, so obviously it can't include a case in which it was coming, we offer your expectations. How do you know? On my way. So Abaya answered him like this. The truth is, said Abaya, that the Olam Bechor, the Davar Echad, lo Abi Bechor. The truth is that the word Bechor is indeed exclusive. In other words, it's got to mean a Bechor of every single kind. Now, the Reisha that was saying that the word Bechor requires Yotze Dofen was saying like this. Yeah, but if it hadn't said Yotze Dofen, I knew something was going on with Hanukkah. I meant Petra. Thank you. I think they're coming out with pills for these guys. Thank you. It's funny, you know, you get this feeling that something, there's some screw loose, but you can't pinpoint it. Thank you. So Talmud Lomar Petarefa. So apparently, why did we need this? Because Hachika Omar. What the Bryce was trying to say was that if it had said the word Zachar, so then I would have said from the word Zachar, Izachar, Yochal Afilu Yotzeterefa, Talmud Lomar Petarefa. In other words, we can't talk about Bechor. Indeed, Bechor means a Bechor, which is completely Bechor. There's nothing else that had come before on any level. However, what we really wanted to explain first is that the word Zachar itself would not include a Yotze Derech Dofen. It would have to be Petaretha. That's all that it's bringing. But then it comes, in other words, in order to build up the limud, it wants to show you each step. So the mashma'ut of the pasuk, indeed, is to explain what the word of Zarka would have meant on its own. Ravina says, no, that's not the way we present things. The word b'chor itself, the mashma'ut of the word, would have been in and of itself anything that fills the bill. The first male, the first through the rechem. That's fine, even though it's only the dover echad, it's also fine. So the lashon of the pasuk itself could not have been used. I said, then why did we bring a riot from the word b'chor in the third case in the Talmud that if it was yotzei after a yotzei dofen? Not from the meaning of the word b'chor. That was your misunderstanding that you had. Because the word b'chor itself indeed would have meant even the firstborn derech harechem that comes after that which is a yotzei dofen. So then what does it say now? Explain to what it's saying. The Seifa is not coming from the Mashma'ut. The Seifa is coming from a global approach to the whole work, the whole process. A thing like this. Look, what does the word mean when it says before? If you're going to try to tell me that which would come after Yotze Doifen, because of the fact that it's Peter Rest, would be Kodesh. What do I need the word b'chor for? You already told me Zohar. You already told me Peterecha. What do you mean? By definition, that's a b'chor. You've defined the b'chor that you want. You're not adding anything by calling it a b'chor, are you? You've told me in great detail, the first male to be Peterecha is a b'chor. From that I understand that even if it came after Yotze Doifen, because that would be true. Must be, if you say before, that isn't true. That's the point. In other words, that in the context of the pasuk, the word before has got to be coming to add something that I don't know. Well, what don't I know? The only thing that I don't know is that the male, the first male, to come derech rechem, that following a Yotze Doifen, that's not considered to be a b'chor. That's the only thing I don't know. Therefore, that must be what the word b'chor is coming to add. But it's wrong to think that the mashma'ut per se of the word b'chor would mean dafka b'chor the davar akad. On the contrary, we already saw in the ratio of the b'raisa that the word b'chor could certainly have included a b'chor, even if it was a yotzei dofen, but it wouldn't have set that to reference. That's how I understand it, said Ravina. Because if not, the b'chor, because of Rabbanu alone. What do I need the word b'chor for? Even with the head from the yatsu and the cable upon us. What? Tell me. Well, you should know that if it had a female that was born before it, excuse me? I know that can't, not because it's a female. I know that can't be true because then it wouldn't be the pepper record. Elishma, I mean, there's only one case that's left. Where Zohar was Yotze Lefanov, even or in the cave of Lefanov, in a Mu'utze Hesel Yotze after Yotze Dofen. Now, there's something wrong with this. Why? Because there's three levels to what it is that I don't know. Remember that there's three issues. The maleness of the thing, the firstbornness of the thing, and the peterechem of the thing, correct? Now, you're telling me in the pasuk that, well, I know it's got to be a male, or I know it has to be a peterechem. Ah, okay, that's very nice. But how about, the first thing I asked you, how about if it's the first peterechem, and there was a yotzei dofen before? So you say, ah, brilliant, that's why it says b'chor. It's got to be the firstborn. Ha-ha, wait a second, excuse me. There's two ways of looking at that firstborn, isn't there? It's got to be the firstborn male. So if an akeva came before it and wasn't peterechem, because an akeva was a yotzei dofen, the first male that was both Yosei Dofen and also a Bechor, because of the first male. I keep doing that, thank you. Was also Perterechem and was also a male. Aha! It fits two out of three of the needs. First male, not firstborn. First male, first Perterechem. Now there you go. How do you know that if you fit two out of the three? You could prove to me if you fit one out of the three. You had a male that was Yosef's girlfriend first, and this is the first male to be Pekarek. Okay? I understand. It only fits one out of the three. The Torah added before to tell me one out of three is not enough. But how about two out of the three? According to you, Ravina, you're telling me the word before doesn't mean anything. I need to have a miut for each particular case. So I have the miut of Yotzito. I have the miut of Zohar. And now I have the miut of Bukhar. But that still doesn't tell me that if it's the first male to be Peterechem, that you haven't showed me that you've got another miut. So now it's the Gemara. Amalei Rav Achim and Ditzur Levina, hold on a second. According to you, the word Bukhar could mean anything. Okay, I'm willing to accept that the extra word now, in a case in which you have a zocher that was yotzei derech dofen first, and then a zocher is yotzei derech rechem, over there indeed it's lo kadosh, because after all the imut mi bechor, forget that word later. I know from bechor it has to be the first. Okay, it has to be the first. But how about, because in that case, you've got two issues that you're dealing with. Bechor l'rechem, bechor l'zechorim. But echa the yotzta nekeva derech dofen, the zocher derech rechem. Over there, let it be kadosh, because you fit the bill of both bechor l'zocher and bechor l'rechem, which you didn't fit, you didn't follow both of those things in the previous case. How are you going to have a diyuk for that one? You've only got three words. Elamachbar tekit Abaye. We're forced to say that the way Abaye was saying, even though it was a little vocal in the brisa, but the way Abaye was saying seems to be correct, because otherwise we'd be stuck. We'd never be able to prove that the firstborn through the rechem male is not a Bechor, even though there was first a Nekeva that was Yotzei Dofen. I said, well, first of all, Yotzei Dofen doesn't have anything to do with Peterechem. Secondly, females don't have anything to do with the males. So who's to say it has to be the first that this animal ever had? It doesn't say that anywhere. According to Abaye, it does say that. The word Bechor means that. See? So, Mimela Machavata Kira Abaye, we are stuck. We're saying a biased chant, as we said before. Hadron Allah Kalokia Kubar Parato. You can't interrupt it. This is crucial, don't otherwise, Sabbath Josh is going to have to redo the whole thing. Kalokia Vehimamina Oveko Chabib. Suppose you buy an animal that has no Vadas Hakshah on it. Now, you have no idea if this is an animal that had a child, that didn't have a child. Now, what do? Now it has a child by you. So how do you know if what you have is a Bechor or not? This is a question we didn't deal with earlier. But as we dealt with Suffolk Bechor, when I find a Zohar and a Kever, I have two animals, and I don't know which one delivered which, and so on. But how about where I don't even know if the animal was Bechor or Lo Bechor? So there, Rabbi Shmuel says, you can rely on certain chazakas in terms of what is the normal point at which an animal would deliver. Say the small animal, an aes. Over there, if it's bach matzah, within its first year, and it's delivered within its first year, it definitely did not have a child before. And this must be its first. And therefore it's Bale Lakoi. But Mikan Ve'elach, after the first year, a delivery may be indeed a second delivery. Rachel, if it's a sheep, and it's delivering within its second year. Bachstein, Bari Lakoin, Mikan Velech Safek. Large animals, such as a parah or a chamor, the not shalosh, if it's delivering within its third year, then that blood is Bari Lakoin. Mikan Velech Safek. By the way, Tosis points out that this isn't true. But, I mean, every farmer knows this isn't true. The paros have vlogos earlier. Even the Tosis second year and so on. And so, I mean, this is one of the examples that Tosis brings of his Mishtano HaTeva, in which nowadays it simply isn't this way. The reason it's not partial is because Tosis entertains the notion that the raya here is, he has to prove that this is wrong, that the raya over here is that it had a child. But if it hadn't had a child, then the fact that you kept it wouldn't have been a raya. Because maybe the point in the Gemara was that had it had a child in its second year, it wouldn't have had another child in its third year. And it didn't have a child, then you don't know that it didn't have a child earlier. In other words, Tosfos said it's possible to understand it, but he proves that this is wrong. And therefore you were right. But it's not so partial. I want you to understand what it needs to take. You were saying it seems obvious, but it's not obvious. Because it could be that the raya that Rabbi Shmuel is bringing here is not from the fact that it wouldn't have been capable of reproduction earlier. Maybe it is capable of reproduction earlier, which would have addressed the problem of the fact that we know indeed that it does deliver earlier, right? Maybe the point over here is that if it would have delivered earlier, it wouldn't have had another blood that took that short amount of time. Because only a mature animal would be able to have a blood and then have another blood within the space of that time. If it's that young, even though it could deliver, it couldn't deliver twice. So then it would not have been a riot, the fact that I owned it, because I may have come and owned it after it already delivered, you see. So Tosis is dope at this, and therefore what you said was true, but it's not trivial. It needs to be shown from elsewhere that this is the case. He can't bring a riot from here. He has to bring a riot from elsewhere that isn't the child. Well, you could see physically how old the animal is up to a point. It changes. That's how it would be.
There's a story here about a woman.
Wow. Oman or Rabbi Akiva? So said Rabbi Akiva to him, Rabbi Shmuel, you're making a mistake. If in fact the only way that a behemoth would be potter from a bokor, considered to be a bichra, would be by having a blood, you'd be 100% right. This has got to be the first blood. There wasn't time to have a blood before. But that isn't the case. Because we know that Amru Simana Vlad Behemadaka, Tinus, or Begasa Shilya, the Isha Shvirva Shilya, since there are other simani, just Tinuch, which would be an indication in the bleeding from this animal that there had been something in its womb, or in the case of a Behemagasa, we have a placenta, or by a woman, where you have a placenta, or a shmir. It's not focused whether the shmir would be the membrane that contains the waters, or whether it's a piece of basar, which has a tzurah of blood, in which case it's a deformed fetus, or whatever, because a number of different perusha. But in any event, there are ways to tell that there had been a pregnancy that would have been nefshah as petarechem before. That could have happened. And that wouldn't have prevented it from having now its blood, its first blood, betoked this year. And you wouldn't know. How would you know that this didn't happen a week before you bought it? And therefore, you can't rely on this sin. Zerachlal. Kosha yadua shevichra. If you knew for a fact that it was not shayach, that it should have, if you know for a fact, rather, that it definitely had a bechor before, so then there's no sophic ink on the current. Kosha lo bichra, you have to know for a fact that it didn't have a bechor, and it goes to the coin. Anything in between, if it's a sophic, then it doesn't go to the coin, but you have to have a mum al abal, and you still cannot eat it. You have to be machmir that it requires a mum. Okay, so now, mikan ve'elef, what do you say? From that point on, that we don't have the simen, the bashnos, and so on, in each case he said, mikan ve'elef, suffix. Why do you say it's a suffix? Am I suffix? I mean, aren't rove behemos, as during the first year in which they are capable of reproduction, they usually reproduce? So why don't we say Halechach Rova Deimot Rova Deimot Mitzabrot Biyotot B'Toshnatamino? Most animals will deliver within the year in which they become capable of delivering. So why are you saying it's a suffix? Why not simply go according to the Rove? Va'ivad Anila Deilad, and the Rove therefore should tell you that there was Zikr in Leida here. Are we to conclude that Lema Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Meir Svirle, the Chayish Maniuta? Are we going to say that Rabbi Shmuel holds like the famous Sheet of Rabbi Meir, who holds that you have to be Chayish, even for cases in which it's a Miut? Now the famous case, it's important to remember the case of Rabbi Meir, because we're going to be talking about it, because it's innately different than other cases. The famous case of Rabbi Meir was the shayla of the yibum of a katan and a ketana. The chachamim say a katan who is miyavim is not a problem. But the Meir says they have to be separated. Why? Because in the event that either partner, when they reach puberty, will turn out to be sterile, there was no mitzvah of yibum. And if there was no mitzvah of yibum, then it turns out that we're allowing these two children to sleep together, even though they're all right. So therefore, we should break them up. Right? That's where the Meir sheep. Now the problem is, what do you mean, maybe they're sterile? I mean, what percentage of people are sterile that you should have to worry that they're not going to reach puberty? I mean, it's strange. Must be that he holds, you don't rely on a rope. So if that's the case, you say the same thing about this animal. That maybe this is an animal that wasn't during its first year. I mean, that seems to be what he's saying. He says the Gemara, no. It could well be that Rabbi Yishmael is going after Yibul Tamer Rabbanan. The Rabbanan also might be Moda in this case. Because Kiyase Basaruba, the Ruba the Ite Kama. When does the Chachamim hold that you go Basar Arov? They learned it out from the Pasuk of Asrei Rabim Mahatot, correct? So if you have Tesha Chanuyot, so that case, you go Tesha Chanuyot, or Sanhedrin, that robe is Ite Kamat. That robe is in front of you, isn't it? In other words, you have a question of, where did this meat come from? From the kosher store or the non-kosher store? You're finding it in the middle of the street. Over there, the robe is directly nogea, the question of the meat that's in front of you. It's not a prediction. It's an understanding of likelihoods of what this is. Mashenken, over here, where you're talking about a behemoth, you're saying that the robe will predict that this particular animal will have a child, b'toshinoso, because most animals have a child, b'toshinoso. The Torah never told us a predicted rove. It never said you can rely on statistics to say what will be. The statistics in general have nothing to do with this particular animal. So where you're dealing with a Sanhedrin, okay, there's most of the Sanhedrin says, that's the Sanhedrin, that's right here, it's Ethan, come on, it's in front of you. You have meat that's in front of you, you're trying to determine to which set that's in front of you does this piece of meat belong. There, the third set, they go according to Rove. Over here, you're trying to take the value of animals' general behavior and create a prediction about what will occur with a particular animal. Where does the Torah ever say that statistics can predict something? And you have a right to rely on it, la-locha. It only predicts by definition in large groups. That's the whole meaning of statistics. It can't have any application to an individual situation. Correct? No application whatsoever. So therefore, Aruba, the Lezikaman, maybe the Rabbanan would also agree. So what do you mean, maybe the Rabbanan would also agree? The machloket of the Rabbanan Rebbe Meir about Katan Viktana is a predictive role, and nonetheless, Rabbanan argues. Isn't that true? The Katan Viktana, the Rabbanan is saying, look, statistically, most children reach puberty. So what do we have to worry about it for? What do you mean? That's your prediction. What does the prediction have to do with this particular child? Nothing. And therefore the Torah doesn't allow you to be sent. You see the Rabbon and all that we're saying up on a road, the letter come on. So the Rabbon and Hazis on the Basaruba called Viktana Ruba the letter come on. Because Rabbon and Basaruba. What's the case of Kata Viktana? It's not Katanu Ksana Lo Chosin Velo Miyamin Dibre Rebbe Meir. Omer Lo Sada Chachomim said to him, wait a second over here. Yoda Amarta Shein Chosin. I understand a Katan Kitana Sanatu Chalitza. Why not? Because the Torah says the Ferish Ish. Chalitza is a Chalos and it has to be achieved by an Ish. There's no Ish and Machina Ish al Ish. There's no Ish, there's no Isha, forget it. You cannot achieve the Chalitz. But I don't understand. Why are you saying they can't be Miyabim? What's wrong with being Miyabim? Matam in Miyabim? Amar lahem Katan Shema Yimatei Chalitz. Ktana Shema Yimatei Aronitz. If that turns out to be the case, Nimtzu Pogim Be'erevah. So now it turns out that what? We're telling these children to be Pagea Barayan. We can't do that. So even though it's only a Miyat, you have to be Chayshish for that Miyat.
How do we know that after the Bar Mitzvah? I mean, like that, because they're old. Whether they're
The Torah just talks about is how long we have to wait. Come on, give us some money just to really pass to the end.
The one made the Chalitza was a question.
The first, Rabbanan is saying we agree with you that if the chalitza was done by a kohen, they're going to have to wait and now wait until he grows up. Or if she was a ketana, we're going to have to wait until she grows up and do the chalitza again. But the yibum, what's the problem? What's wrong? I mean, obviously, he has to be old enough to be miyabi. He has to be 9 years old. He has to be capable of intercourse. She has to be over three, because otherwise, it simply doesn't have a din of yibum. But if they can be miyavim, what's the difference how old they are? There's no din of ish v'isha. There's only a din in the reality of the kinyan. Rabbanan say, what do you have to worry about sterility for? Zil basar rov ktanim? Rov ktanim, lav sirisim ninu. Zil basar rov ktanot, rov ktanot, lav ilamit ninu. The Torah allows us to be shenach on a rov. Why can't we be shenach on a rov? Now, if we're going to be shenach on a rov, then in this case, why does Rebbe Yishmael say Mikan Be'er Sopik? The rove predicts that an animal that you bought would become pregnant during its first year. Hello, my rove, I'll tell you why. We'll have to admit that Rebbe Yishmael is indeed Rebbe Meir's spirit. There's nothing to do about it. Even though we never saw this before, apparently Rebbe Yishmael wasn't Rebbe Meir, the Chayesh Umiyuta. Ravina says, no, this has nothing to do with the prediction. A prediction only makes sense if it isn't dependent on an external event. Pregnancy is always dependent on an external event. It has to mate with a male. How do you possibly say that there is a rogue, a predictive rogue, that this animal have a child? That's absurd. To say that something is self-contained, that the way that the organism is programmed to reach puberty is going to happen, fine, that is something that is part of the nature of the organism. But the moment that you're going to say that, well, we can assume an event happened, wait a minute, what are we going to assume an event happened? Either it happened or it didn't happen. So if animals didn't need males to conceive, then Enoch Inami, Rabbi Shmuel, would have said, look, there's a role. Most animals have children immediately. But the fact that most animals find a mate, what does a role have to do with that? There, clearly the prediction is meaningless. Because it's dependent on the circumstances. Either it does or it doesn't.
Most animals mate.
That's true, but I can't predict something like that. Because there it's clear that there's a total breakdown between the statistics and the contingencies of the event. So we're not dealing with the way that biology is. There, the statistics are meaningful because we're not talking about events that are unrelated to the statistics. We're talking about functionality. So an organism functions in a way that we have a right to be seimach on because that's the way that Rove tells us nature is. But you can't say that the rogue tells us that nature is that animals find mates. That's not nature. That's history. History is not defined by statistics. So in the Mela, you can't be certain upon it. What's that? No, it's contingency and statistics. Statistics doesn't deal really with statistics.
Psychohistory
would be a statistical prediction that, as is made very clear, has nothing to do with the individual. That's the whole point. You can do what you want. It won't change the overall picture, but it'll certainly change you. You know, so if Mr. Pritchard doesn't go out the gut and go and find himself a woman, he ain't going to have a baby. That's the bottom line. You say most people do. That doesn't mean you. And therefore, this is a rogue that is totally the nicer. Tall robot is totally the nicer. No. There's a lot of discussion in many cases in the afternoon.
It's
not a rogue. Not a predictive rogue. How could it be? A lot of discussion at what point it becomes totally the nicer that's exteriorized and where it's a rogue. That is part of the prediction of Teva. It's not so posh to be machalic. There's a lot of cases in which the acronym signing cannot make a clear cut definition of this. It's only, boy, you look like you're concentrating. We're in big trouble. Please bring it down. We have,
gentlemen,
okay, now this delivers an electric shock. This delivers an electric shock to anybody sleeping. It's not fatal.
It's usual.
So this is it. It's got a two-button safety switch. So I have to use, you know, my fingers very carefully to make sure that this safety switch is depressed. But this works. It worked to kill people, to worry people in that film.